remind you of what we looked at 2 weeks ago on the subject of prayer from chapter 11 of Luke. And we saw there that a disciple asked Jesus, please teach us how to pray. We see you're praying so much, so often, and as apprentices we want to know how to do this. How do we become effective? And we saw how Jesus gives them a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and how that Lord's Prayer gives a structure for us, or a framework for us to then put the flesh on as we seek to emulate, be like Jesus. We use some slides for it. I've put this one up from Costa Coffee, and then the next slide, please. Unbelievable, unbelievably good. That's God. He's unbelievably good all the time. And that's the one we're praying to. Next slide was talk. What is prayer? In his most basic sense, it's you talking to God, God listening, God speaking back, you listening. Next slide, please. Then we realize that through Christ we get that energy, and he was re-energized spiritually, physically, emotionally, as he spent time with his heavenly Father. Next slide, please. And so the impossible becomes possible with God. Next slide. Then we studied the Lord's Prayer bit by bit, line by line. Next slide. Essence of it, just do it. Go for it. If I, for example, was to say, or you said to me today, Andrew, it's time you did a marathon, 26 miles. If I did that today, I think I would actually die. It ain't going to happen, is it? But if you do bit by bit, if you train up, if you do a bit each day, eat the right food, things like that, you start to be able to do it. I have the potential to do it, but I can't without some discipline. We each have the potential to be regularly in God's presence, but we need some training on it. We need to practice it. The Lord's Prayer is a good starting point. But daily, spending time with God in prayer, in that relationship building, just as Jesus did. If we want transformation in our lives to be more like Jesus, then we have to practice his presence. We need to spend time in prayer. If you don't do that, you're not going to go anywhere. And the disciples realized that, and that's why they said, look, teach us how to pray. You might remember in that session we also said, what would you ask for? And people were asking for, how to do the healing. Nobody asked for how to raise people from the dead. Things like that. But the disciple, he asked, how do you pray? How do you do that? Chapter 11 on this subject of prayer goes on, as we saw there. Again, on this subject, staying with it, what else did Jesus say? And he begins with a parable. And we're going to start there today on this subject of prayer. And I've given it the title, How to Pray the Jesus Recommended Way. Quiz question for you. How many people pray in the UK? There's a number of surveys. These are approximate numbers. Which of the three is it? 35% of people. 50%, 75%. How many people pray in the UK, survey-wise? Who says 35%? Okay, got a few. Who's going for 50%? Who's going for 75%? Okay, so just about the majority, I would say 75%, middle ground 50%, lowest 35%. Well, they reckon it's just over about 50%. Question is, of course, well, who are they actually praying to and why? Anecdotal. It always used to amaze me when I was in the Air Force, particularly when I was at RAF Wittering, which is near Stamford, which is by the A1, and paramedic. So we'd sometimes get called out to the motorway. Main job was crash rescue, but we also did the motorway. I was always amazed when people were injured, they would always be talking to God. It wasn't, it was sort of like God, Jesus Christ, expletive, expletive, expletive. But there's something in that emergency, I need help. And it used to happen again and again. People totally aware, totally non-Christian, and all sorts of stuff was said. I really developed my swear word knowledge hearing these folks. But they knew something going on. We need help. To help people understand, Jesus said, look, let me tell you a parable. So he told them, template. He then goes on to the parable, verse 5. And we're going to have a look at that for a few minutes. Parable. Short story with meaning. Imagine it's modern times. This evening, a good friend turns up unexpectedly. After a long trip, and you welcome him in. I hope you do welcome him in. And you say to the visitor, would you like some cheese on toast? And they go, yeah, that'd be fantastic, thank you. And you go to the bread bin, and you look in, there's no bread. So you go to the fridge. Bound to be some of that. Nothing in the fridge. So you go to the freezer. Nothing in the freezer. Next plan. There's 7 at least supermarkets that open till 10 o'clock in Chippenham. So you could go there, maybe. If not, you can go to the corner shop or the garage. You can get bread somehow or other. And that actually is a great blessing, to have such facilities all around us and provision, which we so easily take for granted. I've never prayed for the corner shop or the supermarket, but it would be reasonable to do so. Then imagine you've also got children and they're upstairs in the bedrooms. So they're not going to get disturbed by this visitor coming in. So it's all okay. We can deal with it. We're 21st century people. We know what we're doing. But here's the big but. Jesus' audience 2,000 years ago probably lived in the one room. Kids, parents, maybe animals as well. One room. Bread was made on a daily basis. There are no supermarkets. That would be some weird, fanciful dream. That they would say, oh, I better not eat any more cheese. And it's a culture that is hospitality is so important. So actually, this parable that Jesus is telling is quite uncomfortable. And Jesus says, imagine a friend turns up at your house late at night. Your bread for the day's gone. You want to be hospitable. What are you going to do? So this friend goes next door, knocks on the door and asks for some bread. And to his neighbor, he's also a friend, and says, look, my visitor's arrived. Can you give me some bread? I want to be hospitable to my friend. Come on. And the friend says, no. In fact, more than that, says, look, be quiet. Got the kids sleeping. It's taking me 3 hours to get them to shut up and to sleep. So, for goodness sake, go home. This person, though, doesn't take no for an answer. They persist. And as Paul read from the NIV, audacious, bold prayer. Audacious, bold request. Give me some bread. The neighbor relents, wants to get him out of the way, and passes over the bread. And that basically is the parable. So what's going on? Well, I'm immediately reminded of my father-in-law, Carlos. You've heard the mother-in-law being prayed about today. She's actually gone to church. Carlos, who's now passed away. He was when he'd have a meal, he'd have all the, his Portuguese, so you have all the food out on the table, and it's a big deal. And he would say to everybody, don't be shy. Take what you want. Which was a recipe for gluttony. Take what you want. Don't be shy. And at the heart of this parable, Jesus is encouraging in your prayer life, don't be shy. Quite the opposite of being shy. Come to God with boldness, and I like this word, audacious prayers. Where, how's your audacious prayer life going? We can enter the presence of God with confidence because of what Jesus has done. And it's not just in this passage. Hebrews 10 is another example. Confident prayer. Go to God with audacious, bold prayers. It is mistaken thinking then to come with the attitude, well, who am I? I'm a nobody. There's 6 billion people in the world. God's not got time for me. He deals with the Putins of this world, not with me. But that's mistaken thinking. Because you're forgetting the majesty, the power, the authority of God. That he's created each one of us. He knows each one of us personally. And more importantly, he loves us with a passion. It's mistaken thinking to come to the Father only in dire emergencies. That God is sort of like the sick emergency service after the police, the ambulance. What else is there?
Fire.
Coast Guard.
Rescue.
Sorry?
Rescue.
Mountain Rescue. The AA. Green Flag. Oh, I better go and ask God for some help here. That's not the way. It's a regular, deep relationship with God, each and every day. Not convinced. Verses 9 and 10. Jesus comes back to this story. He says, look, if you're not convinced, let me put it another way. Let me give you another angle. You are to ask and to seek and to knock. In your building of a relationship with me, when you pray, you open the door to Almighty God, who promises to come in into our lives, into our situations, into our circumstances. You knock on God's door. Revelation chapter 3 has a different picture, but on the same kind of thing, where God's knocking on the door of our lives. Not as an angry father, but somebody who wants desperately to be in relationship with us, knocking on the door. If you knock on the door of God, is he going to open the door? Of course he is, because he really cares for you. Still not convinced? Well, in verse 11, another angle Jesus puts on this. And Jesus challenges those around him. He's saying, if your child asks for a basic meal of fish or eggs, would you instead give him stick or scorpion? And they look at him and they say, well, of course we wouldn't. And then Jesus says, well, I know you wouldn't, but if you can figure that out, how much more can the Heavenly Father figure out what you really need? How to answer your particular prayer. Now this helps us understand a little bit why on occasions our audacious prayers aren't answered in the way we expect. Now that's worth a series of studies. But let me give you some bullet points. God sees the beginning and end of all things. He knows what would be best to move the kingdom forward on earth. Because when we're praying, we're not praying, God, your will, my will be done on earth. You're praying God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Central to the Lord's Prayer is blessing. God to bless us, his good and perfect will to be carried out on earth. But there is mystery here, and in a sense we have to carry mystery with us. We can't have it all quantified and understandable, because we're only human beings. And so there's a trust element. We have to trust that God really cares for us. Trust that there is a plan in whatever the issue is that we're bringing before him. And maybe you brought it many times. But that's hard, isn't it? Trusting. When things aren't going the way you hope they would. How can we help ourselves in such times? Well, it's to remember the other blessings, the other prayers, answers that are being answered. The blessings that we are receiving, when there's that one thing that just doesn't seem to move. What's going on, God? What can I do with this? And we have to take some encouragements from certain scriptures, like Proverbs chapter 3 is a big one for me. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Dear God, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know why it's happening in this way. I'm confused. I've prayed about it. It's not happening. Help. You ever had those prayers? And somehow we have to hold on to that mystery of what God's doing. Because we want to know. We want it to be as we want it to be. But it doesn't always happen. And sometimes the prayer answers straight away. Or in a few weeks. Or something happens and things suddenly start to move. I've certainly had a number of times that prayers, and you're praying for ages and nothing happens. And then suddenly, boom, 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 everything happens. In fact, then it's too fast. But the promise of God is, knock on his door. He wants you to come to him daily in audacious, bold prayers with a confidence that your Father God wants you in his presence. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be in every element of your life. Because the bottom line is, God is deeply, deeply committed to you. He's deeply committed to you. And prayer is communication with the one who loves you the most. And when we realize that that's what's going on, that our Heavenly Father loves us the most out of anybody, anywhere, ever, then we can come before him with confidence. For transformation in our lives as apprentices of Jesus, we need to carry out these practices as core to our apprenticeship of Jesus Christ. So let's bit by bit make prayer regular in our lives, daily in our lives. Maybe set a particular time. With phones, you could set up a reminders as well, because it's so easy to forget, isn't it? Especially in the business of the day. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? What are you thinking about? What's going on today? What about that phone call you just had? That email you just opened? Where are you? Where's your heart? Give it to Jesus. The door is open. And Jesus invites each one of us in. He is the prayer-answering God. The biggest prayer he's answered is our salvation, our saving. And in a few moments' time, and Beth, could you go around and tell the youngsters, please? In a few moments' time, we're going to come to Holy Communion. And in communion, it is that reminder once again. This is what Jesus has done for us in the past. But Jesus is at work now. And he's going to be at work in our future. And one day, he's coming back again. To put all things right, to make all things new. In the meantime, We're on active service. And on active service, we need God's help, God's enabling, God's strength. When it's really difficult, our encouragement comes from Jesus. He's hearing our prayers. He knows our needs. And in some way, shape, or form, he's at work. And God is at work in each one of our lives here today. And that's quite amazing. Whether you think you're important, not important, doesn't matter. Whether you think you're young or old, doesn't matter. Male or female, doesn't matter. Whatever you are, wherever you're from, God's created you, God loves you, and it's shown most clearly with the Father sending the Son, Jesus Christ, the one who literally died for you, has risen and is alive today. Amen.